Longstreet leaned back against a fence post and stared up into the sky. For a moment, he saw nothing but the clean and wondrous sky. He sat for a moment, coming back to himself. He thought of Lee as he had looked riding that hill, his hat off so that the retreating men could see him and recognize him. When they saw him, they actually stopped running. From death itself. It was darker now, late afternoon. If Meade was coming, he would have to come soon. But there was no sign of it. A few guns were still firing a long way off. Heartbroken men would not let it end. But the fire was dying. The guns ended like sparks. Suddenly, it was still. Enormously still. A long pause in the air, a waiting, a fall. And then there was a different silence. Men began to turn to look out across the smoldering field. The wind had died. There was no motion anywhere but the slow smoke drifting, and far off one tiny flame of a burning tree. The men stood immobile across the field. The knowledge began to pass among them, passing without words, that it was over. The sun was already beginning to set beyond new black clouds which were rising in the west, and men came out into the open to watch the last sunlight flame across the fields. The sun died gold and red, and the final light across the smoke was red. And then the slow darkness came out of the trees and flowed up the field to the stone wall, moving along above the dead and the dying like the shadowing wing of an enormous bird. But still far off beyond the cemetery, there was golden light in the trees on the hill, a golden glow over the rocks and the men in the last high places. And then it was done, and the field was gray. Longstreet sat looking out across the ground to the green rise of the Union line, and he saw a blue officer come riding along the crest, surrounded by flags and a cloud of men, and he saw troops rising to greet him. "They're cheering," Gorey said bitterly. But Longstreet could not hear. He saw a man raise a captured battle flag, blue flag of Virginia, and he turned from the sight. He was done. Sorrel was by his side, asking for orders. Longstreet shook his head. He would go somewhere now and sleep. He thought, couldn't even quit. Even that is not to be allowed. He mounted the black horse and rode back toward the camp and the evening. With the evening came a new stillness. There were no guns, no music. Men sat alone under ripped, branchless trees. A great black wall of cloud was gathering in the west, and as the evening advanced and the sky grew darker, they could begin to see the lightning, although they could not yet hear the thunder. Longstreet functioned mechanically, placing his troops in a defensive line. Then he sat alone by the fire drinking coffee. Sorrel brought the first figures from Pickett's command. Armstead and Garnett were dead. Kemper was dying. Of the 13 colonels in Pickett's division, 7 were dead and 6 were wounded. Longstreet did not look at the rest. He held up a hand, and Sorrel went away. But the facts stayed with him. The facts rose up like shattered fence posts in the mist. The army would not recover from this day. He was a professional. And he knew that as a good doctor knows it, bending down for perhaps the last time over a doomed, beloved patient. Longstreet did not know what he would do now. He looked out at the burial parties and the lights beginning to come on across the field like clusters of carrion fireflies. All that was left now was more dying. It was final defeat. They had all died, and it had accomplished nothing. The wall was unbroken. The blue line was sound. He shook his head suddenly, violently, and remembered the old man again, coming bareheaded along the hill, stemming the retreat.